Good afternoon. This is the Donna Sebo Show, and we have got an hour of mind power that I know will captivate you and keep you just really sharp on your toes. And don't forget, you're going to need that pad of paper and pen. Now, by the way, later on in the hour, you will be able to call in to our toll-free number, which is 877-876-5227. Well, all of us have challenges in life. Many of us are entrepreneurs, and we're always looking for insights and understanding that are going to be able to empower us, not only in daily life, but also in the world of business. My guest today is Wes Moss. His book is called Starting from Scratch, Secrets from 21 Ordinary People Who've Made the Entrepreneurial Leap. Wes, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's an absolute delight. Now, Wes, where are you located?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, one of my favorite cities. Atlanta is just absolutely gorgeous. Now, I want my audience to know something about you, Wes. You have been involved in entrepreneurial activities ever since you were a teenager.
Yeah.
And you were a candidate on NBC's popular show, The Apprentice, with Donald Trump. Your background is that you've got a degree in economics from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. You have built a very good investment practice, and you've gone on to become a vice president of one of the world's largest investment firms. After just a few years, you're a certified financial planner, and you manage, along with your associates, over $100 million in investments for various individuals, entrepreneurs, and corporations. So working with money, taking risks, sticking your neck out, is just part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is.
Now, can you tell me why, when you as a teenager had the opportunity to start doing things on an entrepreneurial level, what it was that gave you the enthusiasm for it? Not many teenagers seem to express an interest in that direction. Why did it happen to you?
Well, I think it's got to be something from within, that the difference between seeing a void and hoping someone else fixes it, or being the person that says, I think I can take care of that. It's I think entrepreneurs have the innate mindset to be problem solvers and fill in gaps as opposed to themselves, as opposed to finding someone else to do it. And when I would find a gap in the marketplace and a need for the consumer, whatever it may be, and I thought that there was some sort of way that I could undertake the management of that and the risk of that, then that was something that was just always appealing to me, because I've always I looked at it as I'd rather have ownership of a business or ownership of a job, per se, as opposed to be working for someone else.
That is a very good comment. Because I have had conversations with people that'll say, no, I really don't want to do anything. I'd rather be the person that's behind the scenes. And I know a number of individuals that you would want to have as employees, because that's where they want to be.
Sure.
But it really takes, like you said, the problem-solving capabilities. And I think of the two young men that have started BBS Radio. They have done something, and they pretty much have done it on their own, and that's what they like to do. They like to have, just as you described, the ownership of what they're doing. They like to be able to problem solve. It doesn't mean they don't get up some mornings and say, gee whiz, did I really want this headache today? Because nothing goes in a straight line in life.
Right.
And you're always going to have challenges in business. Now, you put this material together. Anybody learning about you and your background would say, well, you have so much. Why is this important for you to share your message with other people? Why is it important, Wes? Why is it so important that this book had to be published?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. I think that the main one is that when you're passionate about something and you really believe in it and you're living it on a daily basis, it's almost as if it has to come out of you, and you have to share it. And then when you're provided, one of the things I learned through Trump and still learning is the power and the effectiveness the media can provide. And part of the media is book publishing. And I was able to do the project of my dreams, really. It's something I've always wanted to do, and it's something I anecdotally did all the time anyway. I would, so ever since coming to, after college, I've went into the financial planning business, and the financial planning, you really work for yourself. You know, you don't get a salary. You bring in clients on your own. You get a percentage of the fee that you generate, but you typically don't get a salary from a big firm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only making as much money as you're producing. And so it's like running of your own business, kind of a franchise type scenario. And if you don't make it happen, then you don't stay in the business. But if you do, like I did in the early, when I was right out of school, then you kind of get that, oh, Wes is kind of working for himself. Wes has a lot of freedom. So I'd get a lot of people that would come in and ask me, yeah, how do I make more money, or how do I have more freedom or control? And I would always counsel people on ways to take control economically of their life. And I would do that from an early age. And so that now, after going through the show, I was given the opportunity, because I had a little bit more of a understanding of the media and marketing, to put it in a book and say, instead of counseling people, I can say, well, go ahead, why don't you read my book? I just wrote a book about this.
Here you go. Take my book. Take it home and read it if you want to talk to me further. Get in touch. Seriously, though, this is something that you probably will always have a passion with. And it is something that, for you, you have fun with it at the same time. You really enjoy it. And you've come up with the word hunt. And you say it's an art. Tell us what hunt is an abbreviation for, H-U-N-T.
I live by it every day, so it's not as though I had to come up with some acronym and just to figure it, just to fit my philosophy into. It really comes down to the art of the hunt for me. It's really a methodology. It's four steps, and I think of entrepreneurs as always the people that are always hunting for opportunity. They're always thinking about ways to build business, make more money, expand revenue. So you're always kind of hunting for the next thing. And so the hunt for me is, it stands for, it's my four core principles. H, harness what you have. And if you want to, we may go into this a little bit later, but it stands for harnessing what you have. The U stands for underestimate your obstacles. Again, these are all the mindset, that the hunt principle is the principle that leads to the entrepreneurial mindset. The entrepreneurial mindset is what leads all entrepreneurs to success. They all think the same way, inherently.
Mm-hmm.
So the U is underestimate your obstacles. The N is the notice of your network. So that's the outside world. How can the outside work help you? And the T is to take the first step, and that's the catalyst, the action step that entrepreneurs are constantly taking all the time. And that's just a brief overview of what the acronym actually means, or my methodology, the art.
Now, my guest today is Wes Moss. His book is Starting from Scratch, Secrets from 21 Ordinary People Who Made the Entrepreneurial Leap. Wes, your book is relating to business, and it is more than that, though. It has a very personal touch to it, because you took the time to interview people. I would like to ask the question, why did you choose these 21 individuals? First, how many people did you interview? And why were these 21, I'll repeat myself, why were these 21 selected?
Well, I wanted to do a book that was not about people that started out with a whole lot of money. So the non-business moguls, I think there are enough books out there about Donald Trump and Jeff Bezos from Amazon and Ted Turner and people that are worth billions, the guys from Google. I think there's 27 books written on Google in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do a book about ordinary people that didn't have a lot of money to get started. So with that, I also wanted to do businesses that were not necessarily revolutionary ideas, like Microsoft Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted the 21 industries to all be relatively ordinary, relatively low barriers to entry, meaning that anybody could get into that if they really wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose those industries because I wanted to prove that through this hunt methodology and through the secrets that I shared from each business owner, that in an ordinary business, you can have extraordinary results if you just use these few secrets in this methodology. That's why I came up with 21 industries that we could all get into if we really wanted.
Now, we're going to chat about a few of those businesses. I liked your 6 points. Find the love.
Okay.
Desperately seeking challenge, confidence, common vision, decisive progression, and having a cause. All of these points are so significant. You pulled them out, and you've made it 6.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had 20. Why 6?
Yeah, you really could. I mean, that's the thing of writing a book. You've got to really narrow down what you believe in the most. And what I didn't go in to writing this book with the secrets already up front. Figured out. I had to let the secrets come from the story once I got to know the business owner. So when I'd fly to Raleigh or Chicago or Chicago or New York to interview people or Los Angeles, it took a while once I was writing their story after I interviewed these people to figure out if I had to pull one glaring thing out that you do better than the rest of anyone I've ever talked to or any other business owner I've ever met. What is it? And that's how these 6 things came out, or the 21 secrets came out. So for harnessing what you have, these are all people. Let me tell you about harnessing what you have a little bit more.
Okay.
There's 2 steps to it. It's a very internal step. The first step, it's about you, the business owner, figuring out 2 things. One, your natural edge in life. And 2, your natural love in life. If you can find those things internally and put those 2 things together, then you'll be engaged in your work. When I mean natural edge, I mean, what are you good at inherently? You know, are you a details person? Should you be in finance? Do you like? Well, are you a details person? Are you a great salesperson? Are you a great writer? Are you a great speaker? Do you want to be a leader? Or do you want to be an executor, operational? It's kind of, I'm naturally good at X.
Mm-hmm.
Well, try to figure that out. It may take a while. And I talk about in my stories how these people figured that out. They all took a long time to figure out their natural edge. And then their natural love is an area that they are proud to be associated with. They like to be part of the fashion industry or the financial industry or technology or medical.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to figure out those 2 things in order if you're going to ever be engaged in our work, and most Americans are not engaged in their work. So that's what harnessing what you have is all about. Very internal.
Well, you have got so many wonderful people in here, and the point that you make about them having a passion for what they did. Now, the very first story in your book is about Maria Churchill.
Love her story.
She is so much fun, just from the way she was portrayed in the book. Because she did have a corporate background behind her. However, this is a woman, and so many women can identify with this. She had a passion for shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. I love it. My wife loves this story.
She just had this delightful passion. You've got to tell us about Maria, because it's just so wonderful, because it's such a good example.
It's the best example, and that's why I put it as the first story. She truly, this is someone that, you know, when we're young and our parents want us to go to college and get a safe job.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't want their kids taking risks. I mean, I find that same thing with my younger siblings. I want them to be safe and make some good salary and be safe, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, and that's how we're pushed in the educational system in America. And oftentimes we're kind of just pushed into something that's safe or something that our parents think that we should do.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that a lot of times that leads to this disappointment and this dissatisfaction. Well, that's what happened with Maria. She was always a bright woman, good personality, and she was always pushed into getting a corporate job in sales, and that's what she did. And company after company, she changed or quit because she had that sick feeling in her gut on Sunday night. I call it Sunday night blues. She was just, you know, that feeling before you go to work the next day, that uneasy, unsettling feeling that a lot of us get. And Maria got that, and she continued to have problems with that. So she finally, she worked for a couple different small technology companies that went out of business. So she got kind of laid off 1, laid off 2, finally, her third company she was working for, she was one of the top salespeople, but her sales director died in the plane that hit the Pentagon on September 11th.
That is a powerful experience, especially for her.
A big wake-up call. So mm-hmm. she said, you know what, there's another company that's going out of business. Life is too short, first of all. Second of all, I want to do something where I can't get fired again. I want the control. So she took her last commission check. Now, first of all, she had to figure out what she wanted to do. Went on a shamanic journey. Took a whole month out there, really a month and a half, just to try to figure out what venture she wanted to go into. And she kept coming back to thinking, you know, what I really like to do is shop.
And I love this woman.
I think we can relate to that, right?
Yes, I can. Yes,
I think I love to shop. And you know what I love to shop for? I love to shop for shoes.
Uh-huh.
And so she said, how can I make this a business? She joined. Anything you want to do out there in the world, you can do. There's an association that he can join. She joined the International Foot Association of, something, along those lines. And one of the first things that she noticed is there was a convention in Paris. Well, she loves to travel, too. So she got to go to Paris to this convention. She took her last commission check, and she bought, and she spent the whole darn check, about $10,000 worth of shoes. And that was the beginning of her starting a business called Debu Shoes, which Debu means stand up in Italian or French or one of those. I never can get it straight. So, but it means to stand up and create something, and that's what she did. She's literally the shoe diva and queen of L.A., and that doesn't seem like an easy market to take over. She did it in the course of about 3 or 4 years.
And there she is, just absolutely enjoying every shoe that comes into the store.
And she goes to Italy twice a year, or France and Italy once a year, and she has fun buying shoes, and she ships them back to the U.S. She tries to stay ahead of the trends, and she loves having people come into her store. She loves selling shoes. She's a lot of fun. I was, I've met her on several occasions out in L.A. where she is, and tell you, she's a lot of fun. Really, most people in this book were really fun to meet.
Yes, and the one thing that was emphasized with Maria's story and what she expressed, at least in the way that you put it in the book, is if you find what you really love, whether it's carving duck decoys, cutting shoes, knowing how to make a better slice of beef or whatever it is, if you really love it, that somehow it all comes together.
Yeah, it does.
It's going to come together.
Yeah.
And I just think that there is so much to this. And she said she learned to trust her instincts because she really had a war between her rational, logical self
right.
and everybody around her that loved her dearly that said, you are totally insane
yep.
going for a shoe store. What in the blue blazes is the matter with your mind?
Well, it's happened with me. I mean, I learned a lot from the book, writing the book, too. I mean, I'm doing what I love to do now. I've stayed with financial planning, and I've loved it, and I've been able to really grow my business. But I've been able to speak about entrepreneurship and really try to work with entrepreneurs in their financial planning. And because it's so fun for me, I'm out there all the time talking about it. It's helped to really grow my client base. And then, to write this book, it was fun. And my book is, I think back when we connected, I now have a show on NBC here in Atlanta that is called Starting from Scratch. It's a segment on a morning show here on NBC mm-hmm. named after my book where I can continue to interview entrepreneurs, and believe me, the pieces have come together because I love it, and I have a passion for it. It's fun for me. It's not work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can totally equate with that because it is something that when you're really doing what you enjoy most, things do come together in the most
yeah.
interesting way.
They do.
Now, again, for those of you that might just be tuning into the show, we are talking about the book Starting from Scratch, Secrets from 21 Ordinary People Who Made the Entrepreneurial Leap. Wes Moss is my guest. And it's more than just talking about business because it gives us good insights into how people have faced their own personal inner challenges as well as the reality of having to live life around them. And we're all very individual. We're all very unique. And it takes all of that uniqueness to make this world a productive world. And it's on. There's just so much to choose from. You bring up a particular point that I think it's not always easy for us to pay attention to. You titled the chapter, Notice Your Network. Explain what you mean by network.
Well, the opposite of harnessing what you have, or that internal step, is the external recognition of how the outside world can help. Entrepreneurs think that they're good at everything. That's kind of one thing I found doing my research. We think that we can kind of do sales, and we can do technology, and we can do marketing and everything. And really, the best businesses I found are the people that realize that they're not good at everything, and they notice the network of people they've built up over the years, or they've gotten to know, and have built well-rounded teams as opposed to being well-rounded themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by the notice of your network. It's a powerful, powerful key to the business success.
And with that, then if someone were starting out, let's use Maria as an example.
Sure.
How did she utilize a network around her? She was going into something that was, to all appearances, 180 degrees different from what she had been involved with in the corporate world.
Right.
How did she create her network, or what did she utilize to support her?
Well, the what I mentioned prior is that she joined this organization that already had people that were already in her industry. So she went from knowing zero people in the shoe business to knowing dozens of people that were in the shoe business. And she proactively went to them and picked their brains. Said, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And so she basically found herself a few key people that acted as mini mentors that kind of led her in the right, the right direction. And that's how she got started. Then, instead of building up a big company right off the beginning, she started to outsource, and she found a very good web person. She found that has done a phenomenal job on her website. So she found good people to do that. She found a good PR person, and her PR person was able to help her land placement in over a dozen magazines. The second year she was in business, she's in Cosmo and Lucky Magazine, and just kind of all over that really got the word out for her business. And she'll tell you that it wasn't for those key people that did a really phenomenal job at the marketing and or the PR and the marketing and the website and the people that taught her about the business, then she would have been dead in the water right off the bat. So that's a great example of how somebody used the outside world to learn and to grow and to succeed.
One of the people that you bring into your 21, your circle of 21, is Tim O'Leary, and he is so respected by so many individuals. He was the father of infomercials as we know them today. Some people will bless him, and some will not be the same.
I love infomercials. I thought he was the greatest guy in the world.
So tell us about Tim and how he had success, and then how failure kept company with him for a while.
Yep.
And then he really had to go, using your word, he had to go on the hunt.
Yeah.
Tell us about Tim.
Tim is the perfect example of entrepreneurs that there's very few paths that are straight moonshots. You rarely talk to an entrepreneur that had a company or some sort of business at one point that didn't succeed or that didn't fail at one point. And Tim had some real... He had some tough times. I mean, he was selling gasoline at one point, selling gasoline punch cards at one point, and then turned into a software company and got overextended and basically had to go bankrupt to go out of business. But he learned a lot from that. He learned a lot from it. And the secret I share with Tim, I believe, is the basic value of communication, that his father had this real problem all his life about communicating in front of people. He just was scared, you know, scared to share his message in a big crowd. And Tim realized that that was kind of the chink in his father's armor throughout life, and he vowed that he was going to become a good communicator and a good leader so that he could share his vision and share what he wanted to do. And this is important for an entrepreneur if you want to run a business. You have to be able to do this. You have to be able to communicate your vision, and which, again, leads to kind of the inspiration of the truth. And Tim O'Leary, that's exactly what he did. I mean, he grew up thinking that speaking is a major obstacle. And what he did is he overcame that and learned how to become a good public speaker. And he attributes a lot of his success to his ability to communicate directly to people. And then on another level, on a bigger scale, is an ability how to communicate an advertising message to the infomercial audience. So he really took his communication to another level, and that's a big part of Tim's success.
Now, here are these people. They have been interviewed by you. How do you feel that interacting with these individuals that have gone through their own particular journeys have made a difference in your life?
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, it's been the last 2 years of my life have been dramatically different. I mean, in so many ways. I mean, I think that the first thing we talked about is that making sure you're really putting a lot of effort into doing things you love. I love what I'm doing. I mean, I love that I've started Atlanta Media Company, which basically helps with media and advertising on the show that I'm doing. I'm able to do public speaking around this book that I've written that I love to talk about. I mean, I could do these interviews for hours, really. I mean, eventually someone would get bored, but for me it's still fun. But so I really was taught from all of these people to look, you know, it's fun when you're doing exactly what you want to do and mastering what you want to do. And once you master one thing, you're able to do... you're able to have success in several other things. So I look at mastering my core business of financial planning and having a very solid practice, which I run now. And we're managing more like $150 million now since that bio was written. So it just taught me to make sure I always, you know, I keep doing these things that I love to do. And probably the biggest thing is that I write about underestimating your obstacles. It just seems as though every stage in life and every venture, whether it's getting on the television show or, well, since then, it's getting my own television segment or actually being able to write or publish a book or be able to collect advertising revenue and build a public speaking and publishing company. All these things are people that continually you'll get doubt from. And no, there's no way you're going to do that. You don't have time for that. There's no way the networks will ever listen to you. I mean, it's just all this, there's always doubt and fodder. And what I've realized from these entrepreneurs, and hopefully I'll carry this throughout life, is that there's always a way or always a solution around it. There's always a way to get it done if you want it bad enough. And that's something that I try to live daily, is that if I see an obstacle, I just, instead of saying, oh, there's no way I'm going to get over it, I just say, how are we going to get around it? There's got to be a way. I continue to try to bring in the best people possible to work for me and work with me as far as noticing my network. And then an entrepreneur is always taking the first step. May not always be a step in the right direction, but it's typically a step in some direction. I'm a big believer in inertia.
I am too. And I think what you've shared with us today has just been fabulous. Wes Moss is my guest. Starting from Scratch is his book. We have about 15 seconds. Give out your website.
Sure.
So people know where to go to find out more information.
Sure. My website is wesmoss.com. That's just WESMOSS.com. And I actually, starting the next day or two, I'm going to have some tips from my book on the website. There's a special tip section that's directly from the subject that's information that's not in the book right now. So that's going to be up there in the tip section. And I have a entrepreneurial, the Hunt newsletter that goes out once a month that people can sign up for that too.
Great. great. Wes, it's been absolutely fabulous. We've run out of time, but I'm so glad you were with me. Thank you for being
my
guest
today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Same to you, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break, and when we come back, we've got more good things to share with you. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted you're joining me today for the Hour of Mind Power. Now, I do want to let you know that telephone lines are open if you'd like to chat with me. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Call me at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And by the way, if you call in and you want to chat with me, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just let me give you my mental intuitions, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you like. By the way, before I go into some of the things I wanted to share with you today, I do want to let you know that effective July the 1st, The Donna Sebo Show is going to be moving to 11 a.m. Pacific Time. So that's coming on 1st of July. Just note that in your notes, wherever you might keep them, so that you don't have to miss the show. But remember, too, the shows are also going to be archived. So if you wanted to let your friends know about BBS Radio, those shows are going to be available for you to listen to at any time that is convenient for you. Graduation is coming up. Have you got a member of your family that is going to be graduating from high school or college or being recognized in a special way? I know so many elementary schools have recognition ceremonies for their students. Well, honoring a graduate is a good thing, and sometimes you want to give them a rather unique gift. Well, I was sent some information, and I agreed. Sometimes a very good thing to give is a book. And I think that's wonderful, something that, well, a graduate might enjoy being able to refer to. But also, someone suggested commemorative coins are really nice. And there are uncirculated 2006 proof sets of state quarters or silver eagles. Now, what you can do, you can go to this website, www.usmint.gov. And what a unique gift that would be for a graduate, something they could keep forever. And then also, if your college grad, for example, is is a real fan, then why not give them a blanket, a stadium blanket, or something that's emblazoned with the colors and logo of the college of their choice or whatever. There's just so many fun things you can come up with. Now, here is a website, and I know we've got a caller on the line. We're going to go to that caller in just a minute. But if you wanted to do something to be a keepsake, there's a website with that exact name. www.keepsakes-etc.com. That's keepsakes-etc.com. Just a few thoughts there. It's that time of the year. Okay, let's go to our first caller this afternoon. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Victor C. I'm calling from Normal, Illinois.
Normal, Illinois. All
yes.
Right. Now, Victor, what I am looking at in my mind is a crossroad. And when I am looking at this crossroad, I am seeing you saying to yourself, I know that I'm here. I really don't feel like I'm quite ready to make a decision regarding the change that I want to implement. I think what I'd like to do is sort of back up a little bit and get some more evaluation. Well, I don't know that you have to back up. I don't think you have to go backwards to be able to make your choice of decision. And though you may feel like you're at a crossroad, I do not disagree that you might want to bring in some more information or detail. I'm seeing money being related to this decision. I am also seeing a relocation being considered. And I am looking at what could be also a lifestyle change. And in this lifestyle change, you don't want to constrict yourself. You want to be able to expand in certain areas of interest, and I'll even use the word need. And on the other hand, you want to let go of certain things that no longer serve a purpose. And I don't disagree with the fact that you need some more information so that you can make better choices and make them based not out of fear or out of confusion, but based because you really know what you need to know. And I think this is all Excellent. The one thing I want you to be aware of is that you do have the time to make the evaluations you want to make, look at what is most important to you, and then decide on what your priorities are. You're going to be able to do that. And, Victor, one of the things that I'm seeing affecting you is a concern that you are going to be hurting somebody's feelings. And what I want you to realize is you need to make it okay to detach from that concern so that you look at the facts that are around you and then understand when you're looking at those facts that you'll base your choice because on what it is that really is going to work for you. And though someone else's feelings you may perceive as being hurt, part of the realization you're going to go through is that the change is best for you. And they may not see it that way, but it's how you see it. And you're the one that's going to be living with the change. They're not. So you must make your choice based on what you feel is right and good for you. And by the way, financially, you're going to be stable. So I'm not worried about you financially. What question did you have for me, Victor?
Well, I have one question. What should I do about my book that I'm writing?
All right. Now, you want to know what to do about your books. What are your books, and what is it that you're concerned with? Are you wanting to write? Is this a library you're talking about with books that you want to sell? What are you concerned with?
Well, I finished writing it, and I'm approaching various publishers, but I haven't really spent a lot of effort doing this. I wonder if I should pursue that.
All right, what kind? This may have something to do with the decision-making that you're having to work through. What is your material? What is the subject matter?
Well, the subject matter is basically American society, government, corporations, basically what's happening in the world today.
All right.
It's called Defining America, and it really explores various attributes of American society that most people really don't want to look at.
All right. So that tells me, as I'm listening to you, and having been involved in publishing in my way, I'm very much alert to and aware of the fact that you have to be aware of your publishers. If you want to send this to various individuals that screen for publishing houses, you need to do an evaluation of what publishers are interested in. There are some that only want to do children's material. There's some that's interested in business. There's many that are out there that are interested even in controversial presentations. And I would suggest you do a couple of things before you submit this, because it looks like you have what could be the equivalent of two books, not just one, but two. I would encourage you to go to someone with a draft copy of what you have done. And it could be the editor or someone of a newspaper or somewhere in your community, and say, I would appreciate your feedback on my material. I'd like to know what you think of it. And then I want you to just sit back and let them read it and give them a month or 2 months or whatever it is that you want to do. And then listen to what they have to say. Because what you're going to find is that when you get critique from people, you may discover there are some areas of skill that you need to refine relative to your writing and the presentation of your information. I think you've got two books here, not just one, but two. So you may get feedback from individuals that are skilled as editors or editing. And, hey, do you have a local college in your community?
Yes, I do.
I would recommend that you consider approaching somebody, actually a couple of people at the college. Go in and say, I'd love to have someone review my material. And maybe you want to have someone from the business arena or maybe from the English Lit classes. It's somebody that is going to give you some objective feedback. Whether or not they like the material per se, that's not going to be the issue because you're writing from your point of information perception, and that's fine. But what you may get is the way that your layout may need to be changed a little bit. So I would say before you get discouraged, which about, gee whiz, maybe I should never send this out, get a little bit of feedback from somebody to see if the way you have presented your information is going to be in the best format or layout possible. And then just start letting publishers know that you have this. And there are so many good, good venues that you can approach. If you'll send me an email, I'll send you some information on a publication. It's in the forefront of my mind on how to submit book proposals.
Great.
And that would be just wonderful for you. In fact, I'm going to see if I can schedule these people as a guest on my show. So this is what I would encourage you to do. Send me an email, and in it, just make it a one sentence, and just say, Donna, could you please send me the information on book proposals? And then that'll bring into my mind view that book that I need to get information to you about. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Donna@DelphiInternational.com.
Well, thank you very much, Donna.
Oh, Victor, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for being a listener to the program.
You're welcome.
And tell your friends about it. And we're going to be going to a break, and I appreciate your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here. Give us a call at 877-876-5527 if you'd like to chat with me. Today, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little insight. And hey, there's a vegetable out today that's just great. How about some asparagus with herb sauce? Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, before I give you this scrumptious recipe for asparagus is one of my favorite vegetables. And of course, this is the time of year when it's out there, and it is so good to pick. So have that pad of paper handy and a pen. Now, I want to let you know who's coming up next week. We have Jeffrey Goldmuller, and we're going to be talking about stevia. Now, if you've never heard of stevia, it is a natural sweetener that many, many people, what we would call primitive people, which I think is a misapplied term. However, these are people that have used it for generations to sweeten whatever they have. And if you're a person that does not like artificial sweeteners, I know I can't use them because I get a reaction to them, but you don't want to have those extra calories, but boy, that sweet tooth kicks in. Well, we're going to be talking with Jeffrey, and he's not only going to give us some history about stevia, but also recipes. And then we have got next week a very powerful week, because on Tuesday we're going to be talking with Jay Scott, who is the father of a very special little girl named Alex. And we're going to be hearing the story and what I consider a miracle with a child that is just really going to really make your day. I just think absolutely make your day. Then we're going to be talking on Wednesday with Carrie Broussard from Cinderella to CEO. Yes, isn't that a graphic image with a title of a book? Now, Carrie is going to be telling us how she did certain things and accomplished some successes in her life. Then on Thursday, we're going to be counting on a miracle with Clifford J. Fazzolari. Yes, good Italian fellow, but boy, his story and the story about a children's hospital will touch your heart and your mind. And then Dr. Jeanette Freeman, why did this happen to me? Have you ever had a moment like that? Just say, okay, God, I want to know, why me? How come today? This is not a good time. Let me put in a real complaint to the customer service department of the universe. Ever had moments like that? I have. Well, we're going to find out how you can handle them. So you're not going to want to miss any of this. And I just invite you to tell your friends. And don't forget, July the 1st, we're going to be shifting the Donna Sebo Show to an earlier hour to 11 a.m. in the morning. So make sure you make note of that, too. Okay, asparagus with herb sauce. Yes, this is really, really good. And if fresh asparagus is absolutely positive right now. But, you know, times of the year you could fix this recipe even with frozen asparagus. So let's try this. Now, this is what you're going to need. You can have a couple of tablespoons of olive oil. Oh, before you do anything, you need to have your rack in your oven put on broil. And you want to have your rack 4 inches from your heat source, from your broiler unit at the top of your oven. So just be prepared. Turn that broiler on because the rest of this is just going to take a little bit of time. Now, you need those 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of cracked pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of cracked pepper. You're going to need about 1.5 pounds of asparagus, and, of course, you want to trim off those tough ends. Just pop them off. It's no big deal. And then 1/2 cup of fat-free plain yogurt. 1/2 cup of fat-free plain yogurt. You need 2 tablespoons of chopped red onion, 2 tablespoons of chopped red onion, 1 tablespoon of chopped fresh dill, tablespoon of chopped fresh dill. If you don't have fresh, use dried. Who cares? As long as it's mixed in with what it's mixed in with, it's just going to expand in its wonderful fragrance and flavor. Tablespoon of chopped fresh parsley. Yes, fresh is best, but if you don't, use the dried. Tablespoon of chopped fresh parsley. Then you're going to need a clove of garlic minced, and hay. If you need to use garlic powder, use garlic. Sometimes we don't always have all the fresh ingredients, so make do. Use your imagination. You're good at this. You can handle it. And then you need 1 teaspoon of grated lemon zest, and that's off the fresh lemon, but again, if you don't have the fresh, you can use a little of the dried. Now, this is what you do. You want to have a large, shallow dish, and in that shallow dish, you want to combine your olive oil, your 1/2 teaspoon of salt and pepper. Then you take your asparagus, and you just mix it all in there. You toss it so that all the asparagus is covered with the salt and pepper and the oil. And you want to make sure then, after you've mixed that all together, that you arrange your asparagus in a single layer on an ungreased jelly roll pan, and then you put it under the broiler. You turn them once only, and it's about 3 minutes per side. And then, in a separate bowl, you're going to combine your yogurt, your onion, your dill, your parsley, your garlic, lemon zest, and remaining salt. And, hey, 6 minutes or less, your asparagus are done. Put them on a warm platter. Put this yogurt mixture over it. Oh, yum, yum. You know what? If you wanted to do this on a barbecue, you could. It'd be absolutely great. Well, you know what? We're out of time. My goodness, time goes by when you're having fun. I so very much appreciate Wes Moss for being my guest today, and also for you listening to the broadcast. Don't forget, keep us just right there on your favorite spot on your internet radio level, and just know you can go to bbsradio.com, and don't forget, Donna Siebel's on from 3 to 4 every afternoon. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There's so much in life to explore and to just go for. I want you to know that you have the right and privilege to do exactly that. You don't need permission. It's not necessary. You've already got it. If you can think it, you probably can do it. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you tomorrow. Or nope, whoops, I goofed on that one. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.